Open Joint Legislative Task Force on County Payments Committee, and this is a informational meeting. We have some people to call forward, and we're going to start off the meeting with talking about the use, flexibility of use of some funds. So Mike MacArthur, who is here, we'd love to come up, and we do have some guests on the phone, and I think you'll introduce those people.
Mr. Chair, co-chairs, members of the committee, Mike MacArthur, Association of Oregon Counties. May I ask Alex Kyler of Lane County to join you?
Absolutely. Alex, you want to come up front?
I hope you're okay with my guest.
So the topic today is a review of the use of county road funds for road patrol. Under federal law, under the Secure Rural Schools Act, these funds are dedicated to roads broadly. Under state law, you've allowed two counties to use those funds for road patrol, which is has a sufficient nexus to be considered road-related. This isn't a solution. This is a desperate measure, but we're in desperate situation. I think by June, you'll see a number of counties cease to be able to function as a normal county. This use of these funds by these counties could allow them to maintain some basic levels of services until other revenues can be found. I think we have a couple of commissioners on the phone right now, and Alex from Lane, where this program has been in place, to talk about how it's worked, and the other commissioners can talk about their situation and why they'd like to do this. So is Commissioner Itzen available?
Mr. Chair, could we have the people on the phone identify themselves?
The two commissioners on the phone that we know currently, could you identify yourselves?
Yes, hello. My name is David Itzen. I'm one of the three county commissioners from Curry County. And I'm Simon Harris from Josephine County.
Very good.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I didn't hear Mr. MacArthur very well. It sounds like you've got the disease. What counties have gotten relief?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, Lane and Douglas currently under statute have the authority to use their road reserve funds for road patrol.
Okay, thank you. I just didn't hear you.
So why don't we go with Alex, explain what Lane is doing, and then we can move to the other two commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the record, Alex Kyler, Intergovernmental Relations Manager with Lane County. We have been using under the provision in state law that allows us to transfer just that portion of federal forest fees that is in the road fund to Sheriff Patrol. We've been using that since 07-08. And last year, with the passage of Senate Bill 443, was actually the largest transfer we've made of $2.7 million. Before that, the transfers were between $1.2 and $1.5 million. And that only goes to used for Sheriff Patrol. Historically, it's gone to the traffic team, but can also be used for general purposes of road patrols. So it's been a tool that the Sheriff's Office has used. It is by no means, and I'd like to echo the testimony that Mr. MacArthur provided, it's really not a solution to the public safety issue that we're facing in Lane County, but it has provided some flexibility for the Sheriff as he provides for public safety in Lane County. That is a big, very big department, right? We have corrections within that, parole and probation, and the Sheriff Patrol function. The final point I'd like to make is that we are now at the end of the Secure Rural Schools Act. So when if you look at historical amounts of money that we actually received through the United States Forest Service that could go into the road fund, about $20 million a year. As we saw the ramp down from 2008 with Secure Rural Schools, that amount has decreased to just over $10 million. And in fact, we got from the Forest Service our projections moving forward now when we go on to actual harvest and the revenue share from actual harvest. And that amount into the road fund will be $1.2 million for next fiscal year. So we're planning on transferring about $858,000 as we move into this next budget season. We're very preliminary at this point, but you can see where we've sort of, you know, gone from having this to be a fairly good tool to, as we get back to actual harvest, extremely limited amount of money for the Sheriff's Department. So it is, like I said, a good piece of flexibility, but by no means sort of the solution to public safety issues. But thank you.
Okay. And our commissioners on the phone, we'll just go alphabetical. Commissioner Hare, would you like to say a few words and introduce yourself at the beginning for the record?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for including Commissioner Itzen and myself in this opportunity to testify this morning. My testimony probably won't be that much different from Commissioner Itzen's, in that we're seeing a 60-70% reduction in our public safety fund budget due to the loss of the ONC funds or the Secure Rural Schools not being reauthorized. So that's how we're budgeting this year, not counting on either a local levy, some sort of local funding, or federal funding. In that, we are going to go out for a levy, but we don't have a very good track record in Josephine County of that happening successfully. So our situation is a little different than some of the other counties that would probably like to take advantage of the contingency money that's been built up as reserves for the road funds. And currently we have about $3.7 million in that fund. Relative to other counties, that's pretty small. We've been using it for roads historically. And I don't think it's much of a long-term solution, but in the short term, to try to shore up the public safety budget as best we can. I think one of the biggest things that tugs at people's heartstrings is the fact that our juvenile detention center will probably have to close down if we don't find alternative means of revenue. And that's the thing that that's just one of the things that's going to be really challenging to combat here in the next year and several years down the road. So this is certainly not a long-term solution. I think as the representative from Lane County, Alex, was talking about, the real solution is getting back into the forest, but that could take a number of years to actually happen and see success there. In the short term, we would really like an opportunity to at least have it as an option to access those funds.
Thank you. We'll allow some questions after we get through with the panel. So next, Commissioner Itzen.
Yes, Coach Arrowland, thank you very much for the privilege of testifying once again in front of the Joint Legislative Task Force on County Payments. My name is Dave Itzen. I'm one of the three commissioners from Curry County, currently serving as the chair of the commission. Curry County would like the option of being able to explore the possibility of using the County Road Fund Reserve as a bridge should our county voters approve some sort of revenue-producing system, for example, a county sales tax and or a property tax increase, that would lead to a long-term solution in the county's financial difficulties. Our approach in Curry County may be to regard any bridge use of road fund reserve monies as a loan payable with interest over a reasonable period of time. I've had several discussions with our roadmaster, Dan Crumley, and he is amenable to this type of discussion. This simply gives us another tool in our toolbox for what is shaping up as a very, very serious situation. And once again, I thank you very much for the opportunity to testify in front of the committee, and I'd be happy to answer or try to answer any questions that you might have.
So, questions for this panel? Senator Berger.
Thank you. Do we have a list of the kind of money that is in each county's road fund at this time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, I'm looking at one right here. I have a list of the counties that have at least 1 year's reserve, 1 year's operating reserve in their road funds.
Okay.
They're about 15.
Mr. Chairman, could we be provided that list? I think that would be helpful.
Okay, we will get a list.
Yeah.
Yep. Senator Girard.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. This is my second go at being on a committee like this. And we also, originally we talked a little bit about changing the distribution formula. this seems to be a little bit of a Band-Aid. If we, currently, I think a lot of the funds are going out 50, 30, 20, but not all of them. And I just wonder if the panel would be interested at looking at tweaking the distribution formula as part of a solution, because this problem is so huge with all the counties and the county roads that aren't being able to be maintained. And it just seems to me that this is a Band-Aid for a much larger problem.
Any response?
Mr. Chair, Senator DeGraw, that's a very difficult discussion to have because of the history of the agreements that have been made over the use of the highway fund statewide. I think that would take some time to negotiate any change in that formula. And this is a situation that needs much more timely response.
Respond to that?
Yes.
The problem is with ODOT. ODOT obviously doesn't want to give up the money. So but the counties are the ones that are really having the shortfall of cash. And I think if we're going to do due diligence in this building, we have to look at all the solutions that are on the table. A small tweak is not means a heck of a lot of money to the counties.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you. Mike, and Senator Girard, I think it's great to bring that up and talk about, you know, what are the possible solutions. Mike, what if we took action that sunsetted, as an example? So you said, look, we're the counties, 15 of us, it sounds like, have some funding that if you had fungibility, could be used as a bridge or stopgap, or as a commissioner from Curry County said, even as a loan. I'm not sure how that would work, but what if we took action that said, okay, for a short time period, whatever that given period is, you have this opportunity to be fungible with the money. So rather than change the formula, just said, here's your chance given the circumstances, we'll see what happens with federal legislation. How many counties do you think would actually take advantage of that, and it would be impactful?
Mr. Chair, co-chairs, Hannah, by my count, it looks as though Curry is in the most desperate circumstance, and as you heard from Commissioner Itzen, they would like to have the tool. Josephine, you heard from Commissioner Hare, they would like to have the tool. I think Klamath has explored it. They have a sizable reserve, and they have a really serious public safety problem. That's the other part of the issue is the problem isn't in the road fund. The problem is in public safety, where the majority of the general fund goes, and it's finding money for public safety is the real issue here. So I'm thinking there are three or four counties that may take advantage of this.
We also have a representative in the attendance today. Representative Hicks has now joined the dais, and I will have a question to Senator Johnson. So, Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to put one more finer point on the co-speaker's question. There is another consideration here, which is whether the counties have been intermingling the funds within the same account or separate accounts. This was an LC decision that came down during the last session, and that could be actually prohibitive to some counties being able to implement this. And so I would suggest, so in terms of the question of how many counties can actually make use of this, that is another hurdle that we need to consider. So I know Josephine, we've looked into it, and Josephine does seem eligible to take advantage of this, but I don't think every county is in that posture. So I just wanted to add that as you're considering the numbers.
Follow-up, Representative Hanna.
So let me follow up, and I'm going to shift my direction just for a moment, because Representative Hicks, if Mike's answering the question, maybe there's 15 that could take advantage of it. Do you believe we could fix through legislation if counties had been commingling the funds but still had the need?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Co-Speaker. No, I don't. From that LC opinion, I think that the counties would have to change their practices. If they have been commingling, they need to immediately change their practices, but it would be future funds, not existing funds, that would be accessible to them.
Okay, just as a follow-up, Mike, maybe we don't figure this out right now, but if you'll come back and give us a little help with that conversation, we'd appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, Co-Chair Hanna, sure, we'll be happy to do that. We've had this discussion about you can keep a proportionality and you can track the funds that came from the State Highway Fund, and mostly it's the federal forest payments that were set aside.
Okay, just follow-up. Just give us a little information so we understand it the best we can, and we'll, as we try to put together some, at least, Band-Aid for this. we'll try to get to that point. Thank you. Thank Senator you. Johnson.
The co-speaker used the word Band-Aid, and I guess that's what I was thinking. I believe that Curry County has, about $30 million? What I'm trying to figure out is that as we try to figure out the Band-Aid short-term fix, what are the consequences? Because systemically, we still have a problem. And what I'm thinking about is that $30 million can be dissipated very quickly. And sort of then what? I guess, do we have enough time to find some structural fix that addresses this, or do we just tap into these funds and they're spent and we're done?
So first, questioners on the phone, do you have an answer? Would you like to answer that question before we let Mike answer?
I just want to say this. Believe me, I'm not advocating against the Band-Aid fix,
right,
but I'm just trying to project ahead a little bit.
So either commissioner on the phone.
Yes, Co-Chair Roland Hanna, Senator Johnson, thank you very much for the opportunity to try to answer that question. We do, in our county road fund, we have somewhere between $33 and $34 million, of which I think, in talking to a roadmaster, about 75% of that would be potentially available in these circumstances. Again, our feeling is we've had a citizens committee just deliver its final report with the assistance of Oregon Consensus, and one of the suggestions that they've given us is a sales tax and or an increase in the property tax, which we're exploring those opportunities. We think there are interesting suggestions, and we're exploring as to which one of those or both could be available to us. There's no question but that we have the money available, but I agree with Senator Johnson. This would be, for us, a Band-Aid. It would be, for us, I think, a bridge, and only available if we were able to agree in our community on a permanent solution, which could very well be sales tax or property tax increase or a combination of the two. So that's kind of where we stand on it. There would be, I think I consulted with our county council yesterday. He gave me, in his view, the legislative changes that would be necessary to ORS 294.476, and there's three of those, which of course we may have missed some, but I'll pass those on to AOC. For I was not able to do that late yesterday, but I can do that today, and other than that, I'd be happy to try to answer any further questions that you might have.
You can send that to Beth here at the Capitol as well, so we'll make sure that we get that. And follow up.
I guess I would just make the follow up. Tillamook County, which I represent, has the worst county roads in the state of Oregon. And they have now gone to the ballot three times asking the voters to repair roads that are going to gravel. And I listened to the words increased property taxes, county sales tax, and I don't know how realistic that possibility is in a long-term systemic fix of the problem. I just share the Tillamook County experience.
Any other answer to her question? Yes.
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, I think you've really nailed it, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about that dynamic that has existed in Lane County. The road fund is also on a trajectory to spend out its reserves as we move into this new era. The events of 3 weeks ago, I think, are a perfect example of how rapidly a county can start to spend road fund. We had landslides, closures, we had floods, and we had to have emergency response. And so that's why we've been fairly conservative in our transfers and being taking into account the issue that Representative Hicks raised, which is, we were trying not to get into the gas tax and the registration fee dollars. These are strictly those dollars under ORS 294, which the county commissioner mentioned, that are from the United States Forest Service revenue share that, at your discretion, has been used 25% for county school fund, 75% for road fund. That's the piece that we were able to, within Senate Bill 443 and prior to that Senate Bill 808, to adjust that very limited amount of money. Not the ONC dollars, it's strictly those United States Forest Service dollars, and so you're starting to really shrink and not get into that other constitutionally protected road fund portion.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if you would mind asking the commissioners on the line to talk for a moment about the magnitude of the cuts that are making in this current budget, in the next budget.
Commissioner, yes, that would be great. I guess I would like to hear. The reason that we are really looking at this kind of Band-Aid approach is the fact that they're taking very, very almost draconian kinds of cuts in public safety. And I would like to hear what that means in both cases, what you would have left. What is the current state and the current projections for the next year's budgets?
Mr. Chair, I have an 8 o'clock.
This is Commissioner Hare from Josephine County. We're just in the early stages of planning our budget this year, and we're doing it without relying on any kind of outside funding, even a levy. And just to kind of to answer that question that was answered previously, or that was answered by Commissioner Hitson from Curry County, the a sales tax in Josephine County or an increase in our property tax, be it a levy or any other mechanism, is not going to solve our shortfall. Our shortfall is projected this year to be somewhere around $10 to $11 million out of a $17 million public safety budget. So it's about a 60 to 70% reduction in funding, and we could not make that up in a sales tax or a property tax in the short term. The long-term solution has to be coupled with forest management and getting back into our forests and managing them appropriately. But the reduction that we'll see in the public safety sector, it's a systems approach in Josephine County. Everything works together, as I'm sure in other counties. But we will, our just back of the envelope projection is that we will probably have to close the majority of our jail. Our juvenile detention center all but goes away, and we reduce our current patrols. Right now are 7 days a week, but for 20 hours a day. The sheriff is projecting that that'll be curtailed tremendously. And in the rural outskirts of our county, we have 1,640 square miles to patrol. There'll probably be just a couple of deputies on maybe 8 hours a day, probably 5 days a week. And what that means is that if there's a situation for a medical or some sort of altercation, the ambulance services will not go into a home. They'll wait at the end of the driveway until the area is secure for people to go in there and do medical assistance for people. It's going to have a devastating effect on our real estate market here in Josephine County. People who would like to move on to a different place, unless they can afford to keep this home and buy another one someplace else, they're going to be stuck. Nobody's going to want to come to Josephine or Curry County if they can't sell their property or have a secure place to live. So the ramifications are dire and substantial, and that's the forecast in Josephine County. That's how we're going about it. We're putting together a town hall tomorrow night to address different possibilities for short-term funding. But this isn't going to be, the access to these funds isn't a long-term solution. It is just a Band-Aid. We need a permanent solution, and it has to be coupled with forest management practices.
Commissioner Hitson, any comments?
Yes. Co-Chair Roman and Hannah, thank you very much for, the opportunity to respond. I agree absolutely with my colleague from Josephine County. Our situation, the long-term solution is a correction in our forest management situation. You know, as I mentioned in my last opportunity to testify in front of the committee, we only have about 4% of our land base that's available for a full tax rate. Over 66% of our county is federally owned. And so it's just a to make up that kind of money that came from forest practices properly applied is just a tremendous task. In our case, we're looking at the discussion of cutting as many as 40 to 44 positions out of 78, roughly 78 in our general fund budget. And we're looking at doing that fairly soon. So it's a draconian solution. Dire is probably the word that my colleague Commissioner Hare used, and I think that's applicable to this situation. It's very possible that initially we'll have to cut about $2 million right away, and then from that point forward, our shortfall is at least $3 million per year. That's just to maintain this minimal level of public safety that we have, which is, in practical terms, one deputy on the road for the entire county at any given time, except for 4 hours. What Sheriff Bishop is looking at initially is going down to one shift. If he loses one more deputy, patrols will go to one shift. It's very likely, under the circumstances, with our personnel knowing that these draconian cuts are in the wind just right around the corner, that we are beginning to lose some of our outstanding personnel. We've already lost two. I anticipate the loss of more. So it is a dire situation, and we look at the use of the road fund monies only as a bridge, only as a loan payable with interest. It's not any kind of a long-term solution for us. An example would be, we recently, in the recent rainstorms, had one slide, which was a pretty serious slide. That will probably run about $500,000 by itself out of our road fund. A loss of a bridge could be millions. So really, the solution is a long-term forest practices management correction. But in the short term, if we're able to find a solution within our county to get us past this crisis, such as a sales tax or an increased property tax, the use of road funds as a bridge would be very useful for us.
Senator Przanski, we are going to be done at 8:30 because we have another meeting to go to, and we have two other panels, so we'll try to keep this as quick as we can. Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to put on the record that we've heard from a lot of people. First of all, when this came around in 2007, it was Representative Morgan who brought it forward, and she and I worked together. And when we reached out to some of the counties that were not, you know, the two counties, there was a lot of concern as to how the political push may be on them. I understand the situation has changed, and we also know that there's a lot of limitations. But I think it's important that all of us realize that this only would be a Band-Aid fix for those counties who can actually use it. But I really caution all of us, and for the counties, to make certain that we don't see, let's say, a misuse of those funds, not intentionally, but what would come back to bite them because of the constitutional limitations. And with the issues that we've heard from one of the commissioners as to patrol versus jails, the caution I would give is that if this money is made available, it has got to be used for patrols. And it has to be, you know, in within that confine. But if they try to move that into some type of facility to run and manage the jail, even if you said, well, we have public safety issues, we're bringing people in, that is going to be an area that I think that they are going to regret, because it's just going to establish more than likely misuse of those funds.
Yeah, and I think the counties are getting that advice also from ALC and others. So, Senator Johnson.
I guess the only comment that I would make is that we've now met three times, and in those three meetings, we keep reciting the problem to each other over and over and over again. We have, I think, a fairly good guiding document that might make some concrete suggestions. I feel a great sense of urgency. And what might be the most useful is to lay out a course of action that prescribes what we need to do to get the county some short-term relief, but also prognosticate what are the future things that we can affect. We keep looking at forest practices. I don't know what other cost drivers there are, given that we're going to have to move the federal government on some of the forest issues, but what other cost drivers might exist where the legislature could provide some kind of relief to the county. So I'm looking for an action plan at some point in the very near future.
Mr. Chair, Co-Chairs, Senator Johnson, there is an action plan. It's that report you referred to, the Federal Forest and County Services. And what was the conclusion of that report was that We can't get back $230 million of federal money coming in any one given way. We need the forest piece. We need the forest management piece. We need the local folks to step up and help a little bit at the local level where they have especially low property taxes. And there are a number of ways the state can help when the state gets itself in a position to help. But we understand the state's circumstances are not there yet. But if you look at those recommendations, I think there is a plan.
With that, I want to thank the two commissioners on the phone. I would also like to thank our panel here, and we will close this informational part of the meeting today. So we'll just close it, and we're going to open an informational meeting on county assessment function funding and assistance payments. You're welcome to stay if you want, commissioners on the phone, to listen to this, but you also don't have to.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you very much. I'll be going. I have another meeting, but I appreciate the opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So we have, and I may mess some names up, but we'll go with that. James Bullish. I knew I hit that wrong, so we'll get there. John Phillips and Gail Riddell.
Buchholz.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the task force, John Phillips of the Oregon Department of Revenue, and we're here to talk about the assessment and taxation function that counties provide. Since day one, counties have been responsible for providing the assessment and tax collection function for the property tax. As you know, that funds about just over 1,200 local governments in Oregon, including all the schools, special districts, counties, and cities. That process collects about $5 billion a year, just under $5 billion a year. 10% to 20% of that is returned to the counties as part of their property tax collection under their permanent rate authority and local option authority and bond authority. The rest of it is distributed to the other local governments. At times when counties are cutting expenses due to difficult, revenue flows and those kinds of things, when they cut the tax and assessment system, they affect the revenues that go to all the other local governments. It might save them money as a county to cut some of the funding for that program, but it deteriorates the revenue for all the other local governments. And so in 1989, there was a program created called the County Assistant Function Funding Account, which is a long name, to provide a grant for counties to say, look, if you provide an adequate level of service in the assessment and taxation function, including valuation of property, you will be entitled to participate in a grant in which you'll get additional revenue. And that revenue has been live and running since 1989. What happened in 2007 is some of the counties were in a similar situation they are in now and said, we're not going to be able to meet our commitment to the grant. And so every quarter they get a distribution, and when they cut back their program mid-year, they risk losing future distributions. And so we came up with a bill idea in 2007, House Bill 3532, and that provided a temporary solution to relax those standards to allow those counties to make it through the end of the year and then reassess the situation in the following year and then requalify if they could. So we're just bringing 3532 to your attention. We know at this time of one county that is likely not to be able to continue to fund its program as they had committed to and certified to us that they would. If that happens, they're likely to lose at least the April and then the July distribution, in which case not only will they be in a difficult situation, then they will lose the revenue from the grant, which will put them in a deeper situation. Right now, we know of just Klamath as the county. This time, last time in 2007, it was both Coos and Curry that benefited from that. There are conditions in the bill that was passed in 2007. One, it has to be a county that's affected by the funding from the forest payments. Two, it has to be a cut of no greater than 10%. And three, the relaxation of standards cannot actually create a situation where they're providing less than adequate services to deliver the values and collect the tax. So we just bring this to you today as an option, and we've been working with the Department of Administrative Services and the Governor's Office to provide this in hopes that it might benefit at least one county in this.
So Floyd, did you have a question now, or would you like to wait till they're all done?
I can wait.
Okay. So whoever's next.
Thank you.
I was going to talk about a different issue. Gil, did you want to?
Sure. For the record, Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. John covered it very well. I will note that 3532, there are a couple of limitations. First of all, the requirement that the county that can utilize this must have at least 10% of its general fund provided by these federal funds that are now ending. That would be limited to 12 counties of the 36. Secondly, this doesn't address the issue of a county going into the year initially without the adequate funds. And we've heard from the Director of Assessment Taxation of Lane County that there simply is not the funds there this coming year. So that begs the question about that situation. But again, this will echo the previous panel. This is a tool. It's a Band-Aid. We would appreciate having that access to it.
And this tool is in place currently, that bill? Or was that only to cover those two counties at the time?
No, Mr. Co-Chair, that was just to cover that period of time, and it is not in effect at this time.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, speakers. Up another issue.
Who you are.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, I do that. For the record, Jim Buholtz, Administrator of the Property Tax Division at your Department of Revenue. I wanted to bring up another related issue related to CAFA, and this is something that just really popped up this last week, so I apologize that it may sound a little bit half-baked, but for years there's been a statute on the books that has required the Department of Revenue to step in and assume responsibility for the valuation function in a county if a county's not able to maintain it adequately. And the statute has existed in some form for 50 years, but to at least as far back as CAFA has been in place, nobody has recalled it ever being triggered. The issue that we're coming up with now, particularly with hearing reports about Lane County cutting way back on their assessment and taxation function, is that there's also in the statute a mechanism for recovery of costs for the Department of Revenue. The statute is clear that the county is to bear 100% of the costs that the Department of Revenue incurs. And in order to recover those costs, the statute allows the department to take the non-dedicated shared revenues, so the cigarette tax receipts, the liquor receipts, amusement device receipts, in order to pay for it. The problem is that's probably not going to be enough to be able to cover the costs. And in the position that the department is in right now, we had, along with a number of state agencies, we had our budgets cut back quite a bit. We just don't have the dollars to be able to assume responsibility without some sort of a reimbursement. So we would be limited to the amount that we could recover, and it's not enough. The issue that we'd like for you to consider is to, right now, under the CAFA rules, if a county doesn't qualify for CAFA, then that county is just out of the equation, and the other 35 counties receive an increased distribution. The entire CAFA amount is distributed to the counties, and it would continue to do so, but that county just wouldn't qualify. What we'd like for you to consider is to possibly set aside those CAFA dollars that would have gone to that county that didn't get certified, and make it available for the Department of Revenue for use in that county to cover the expenses of the appraisal. And that way, it protects the revenue streams for the taxing districts within that particular county that happens to have cut back in a draconian way.
Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think this is a great time to, I guess, just point out that we've had distributed the letter from Annette Spickard, who is the assessor for Lane County. And I would just point out to members, if you read the first paragraph, it just talks about Lane County, because of their projections, are requiring all of the agencies to set up what the cuts would be like. Then the next part is where the ripple effect would occur, because if they made those type of cuts, they would not be able to meet their obligations to be under the CAFA. And as stated from the panel, you have that ripple effect, as she states in our fourth paragraph, those cuts would actually impact 83 tax districts. So what I've just heard may be a way of bridging that the money that would traditionally or normally would go to the county that isn't able to participate because they're falling below, that the Department of Revenue would have that money available for them to go into those counties to assist. So that's, to me, would be a great bridge. And it seems like, from what we're hearing, this may not be the only county that's going to be facing this in the next year.
Other guests? Senator Verger.
Yes, I guess I need for you to be very specific about how you would use those set-aside funds in the county that would have been eligible but wasn't eligible for the CAFA funds.
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. We have a plan in place for the issues that we would probably need to address. It is, by statute, it's dedicated or it's restricted to valuation. So it's only for the work that we would have to do in order to get values up to standard in the county. And the statute is also clear that it's capped. The amount that the Department of Revenue can spend is capped on the amount that the county would have had to have spent in order to qualify for CAFA in the first place. So, and it's also, it would be dedicated directly to the valuations in that county, in that particular county that wasn't able to qualify
follow,
for CAFA.
Mr. Chair. And the counties think this is a good idea?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, it's just breaking. So we haven't had an opportunity really to talk to the counties. I talked with Annette Spicker, the assessor of Lane County, and she's certainly in favor of it. But we haven't talked really with the other counties yet.
Senator Verger, this is Doug Robertson. I'm sorry I'm late coming on. I had another appointment. Here listening.
Thank you for letting us know, Doug. Okay. Representative Hannah.
Thank you. new idea. Thank you for bringing it forward. I see some heads nodding in the room about counties and so forth. Couple of questions. You don't have to answer them right now, but just thoughts to provide some information to us. And I'd like to see what that specifically might look like as well in terms of maybe you could provide for us of the 12 counties, if I understood correctly, that might be affected, what the dollar amount would be so that we could look and say, here's what the Department of Revenue would be hanging on to. That's sort of function one. Two, from the counties, and I think this goes to Senator Verger's question to a degree, if you took all of that, how that impacts their ability to do anything within the county. So in other words, maybe there's a shared model there where it says you make part of the payment because they still have to have an assessor. And I mean, I'm just going on some assumptions here that it wouldn't be the Department of Revenue's idea, I don't think, to go to a county and say, gee, let's bring in all new assessors to go figure this out. It would be, we now control the funding stream. Let's go find the professionals who've been doing the job in the county and pay them to do it, I think. Mm-hmm. So just maybe provide back to us some information about the dollars that are there and what a shared model might look like and how you would do that. And that'll give the county some time to respond back to us as well with this new idea.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Co-Speaker, we can certainly do that.
Yeah, that'd be very good. Any other questions for this panel? Thank you very much for being here. We're going to close that session and open a informational meeting on the Fiscal Review Board process. Sarah Gates.
Co-chairs, for the record, Sarah Gates, Department of Administrative Services, Office of the COO, and I'm very briefly here today to talk to you about the Fiscal Review Board process, and in light of our short time, I'm just going to point out a few things that are in the handout in front of you and help inform you about what's available currently in statute. In front of you, you have a handout that summarizes the 2009 Task Force report that specifically focuses on the Fiscal Review Board process. They had a four-step approach. approach to monitoring assistance and ultimately control of county fiscal condition if a county was in financial crisis. It started with monitoring, then oversight, and ultimately control of the county's finances, and the fourth step was actually helping the county to merge or dissolve. All the details of that proposal are contained in your handout. When the ultimate recommendation, though, in the report was that given that the immediate emergencies would likely arise in public safety, that a bill should be brought forward to address the public safety situation and allow declaration of an emergency. And that happened in Senate Bill 77 in 2009. You have a copy of that bill in your packet as well. I want to point out a few things about that bill and what it does and doesn't provide you. It does provide a process by where you can declare a public safety emergency if certain conditions exist in the county, and the Criminal Justice Commission is responsible for evaluating that. It's very important to note that they only evaluate the situation as it is today, so you have to have already been in a state where you are no longer able to deliver adequate public safety services. They cannot look forward 3 months, 4 months, a year and say, there's a problem coming. The horse has already left the barn before they can say that. If the CJC does decide that there is a problem in the public safety area, they can recommend to the governor to declare an emergency. At that point, the governor can put in place a fiscal control board. Now, it's very important to also realize that that term is a little bit misleading. It is not a control function. It is really an advisory and oversight function to assist the county in looking at their public safety services as well as their fiscal condition and helping them craft a recovery plan. It is then up to the commission as to whether they will adopt that plan and follow that plan. There is no further escalation step in the established statutes. So, in short, you have a reactive process specifically focused at public safety that can provide assistance and oversight, but no actual teeth, as it were, to enforce a recovery plan. There are a couple other minor areas in statute that allow for some oversight function and control in county finances, and that relates to public health and the CAFA function, which you heard about in the last panel. Last session, there was an attempt to add some additional statutory authority, and that was House Bill 2475 that came out of the Government Efficiency Task Force. It did not pass. What it did have, however, was that it looked for a prospective element to that public safety review, and it had language about gap funding and requesting gap funding from the legislature that was contingent on passing additional property tax authority. Again, that did not pass. So that's a very brief overview of what exists today. You have information about the recommendations of the task force. Those recommendations are very consistent with what we've seen across other states in terms of an escalated process and would be something for you to consider. And I'll take any questions at this time.
Any questions at this time? Oh, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Sarah. I think I heard you make comment that you have to be in the emergency before this works, right?
Coach, your hand, that is correct.
If you care to, some of our discussion is avoid the wreck if possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, so the point is, do you believe we need to take action that would give us the opportunity to look ahead? I mean, we've talked to commissioners. We know through the AOC group, there are counties, this is going to happen. I mean, we're coming up on this. Is taking action after the emergency gets here too late? I mean, would you suggest a preemptive portion to legislation?
Co-Chair Hanna, when you take action after something has happened, it always takes longer to pull out of the situation you're in. Being able to look prospectively is always a good planning tool. I would point out that the counties do have a good sense of what is facing them. They are planning for their budgets. The existing statutes do not provide anything more than a technical assistance and sort of monitoring function. So unless there was additional work done there, being more prospective may or may not help you address these situations more than what you already have in statute and existing processes.
Thank you.
Any other questions for this panel? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doug, are you still on the phone? If you are, we'd love to hear your comments on the initial deal about how Douglas County has been able to deal with the use of some of the county payment stuff for road patrol. I thought I might have heard him go. We lost him. Okay. Thank you. Committee, right now, we're not really going to take action, but I guess I would look for a head nod. Representative Hannah and I have been talking to our Rules Committee and say we maybe need to tool some of these things up. So we're in the process of trying to get some bills ready to deal with, number one, can we use those road funds appropriately? I'm hearing now about this CAFA thing, which we may want to look at the same thing. Other suggestions that you might have, we'd love to hear, because we are on a fairly, as you know, tight frame with respect to this month. So we're going to start working with Beth to get, and Senator Verger, to get some concepts going that we can then have introduced in the Rules Committee. Is there anything, so with that, yes.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of on what Senator Girard was talking about on the formula, it might be worth exploring rather than a universal thing, doing counties of populations below X or something like that, potentially to try to maybe do a targeted formula adjustment for those who are most in distress. I don't know if that's doable, but in that discussion about formula adjustments, that might be one avenue to look at.
So am I getting a head nod, kind of, that we'll just get start proceeding, and then we'll have work, we'll bring it back here and let people look at it as we move it forward? I'm here. Okay. Representative Senator Brzezinski.
Yeah, I think that's good, and I think what Senator Cruz stated, the only thing we need to realize from one of the first presentations we had, I think, previously, actually talked about some of the larger counties maybe finding themselves going in the same direction as some of the smaller ones, so I don't know if we could actually have a cut line.
Well, if I could, I understand that Lane County certainly is in the box, but I would suggest that although some of the tri-counties do get some of the ONC funds, the proportion of their budget is relatively de minimis, and so I was thinking about a line somewhere in that area. So.
So, Representative Hannah, and then we'll go to Senator Johnson.
One of the ideas I heard, and maybe Senator, what works is that 10% of general fund from these funds rather than a population number, and I think we can have some conversation with counties to make that work, but rather than a population, the amount of budget created from the funds, that way it keeps counties like Lane County in the mix, and you don't try to use a population
Ms. Chair,
number.
And any way we can massage it, I just wasn't looking at doing a whole universal thing, which would spin everything up, but maybe if it's more targeted, it might be more acceptable.
Senator Johnson.
It might be reasonable, Chairs, to consider beginning the drafting of the recovery plans. I just, the name of what they're called just automatically, I just can't think of the words. What Sarah talked about, I think that drives home a sense of urgency. That's going to be very complicated drafting these fiscal review boards. That's going to be very complicated drafting. But I think once that process gets in place, it'll send a message to potential voters. It'll certainly send a message to Oregonians that this is very urgent, very problematic, and I would suggest we contemplate that.
Yeah, let me bring you back. Could I have Skates come back?
I'm sorry, fiscal review board.
I think the fiscal review board is in place. We have that statute. The issue would be whether we can ask, counties could ask to invoke that before the emergency took place. Is that right?
Chair Roblin, again, for the record, Sarah Gaves, Department of Administrative Services. You have specific statutory authority only for public safety emergencies.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's specific language. It's focused on those, and it is only an oversight advisory function to assist the counties.
Okay.
So, thank you. I'll just be brief. I mean, in one of our prior meetings, you all know, when we talked about all the shared services, you know, the shared service models between the state and the county, that's, I mean, while this is a good plan for public safety, we have all these others, and we've now heard revenue issues and assessors issues. I mean, in order to broaden this out, to cover the bandwidth of shared services, you're going to have to think about that. And from my perspective, this whole notion that you wait for the crash, right, rather than give it a, it doesn't matter to me, I mean, some kind of a 90-day rule that says when a county or commissioners come to the state and say, this is imminent, and define imminent as 90 days or whatever it is, if you had the ability to then invoke that and plan ahead,
thank you.
It would
you
be
very
helpful.
Artfully said what I stumbled okay. all around
we
the
will
barn
work on
trying
that
to get to.
Yes.
Thank you.
Senator Bridger, I would like to just tag in on what he said, because in the shared services, and I know the public safety is extremely important, but you've got to look at the responsibility of the state and the county in public health.
Right.
And I think that that is one of the shared things that was very serious.
Yeah.
Senator Ferriero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's some language out there, and I won't identify the county. I'll just give you the language. Certain counties east of the Cascades with a population of less than 10,000 have been allowed to declare a portion of the road funds as surplus and use that for school support or other needful services. And it's been, I would say, decades that that's been available to certain counties east of the Cascades with population less than 10,000. So I offer that as a mechanism. There's a declaration of surplus that people can live with when certain conditions are prevalent or apparent. Another definition we used was to redirect economic development dollars to communities that are in distress. And we define distress by education, per capita income, population decline, UE6, although we didn't even know what it was at that point in time, but chronic unemployment, and some other indicators, including population loss. So there are other categories that you can look at for a declaration of distress that may not be what you consider, the collapse of something, but it is documentable decline that impinges on the ability of the community to sustain itself. So I would suggest that there are like two or three different tools available that have been in statute that we could look at that would get us to a place where a community in distress could call upon the public elected officials to declare that and to actually get approval to surplus some of those road funds.
Senator Johnson, Mr. Speaker,
what I would ask that if we're going to go down this road and do some type of expansion, maybe changing the name of it from Financial Control Board to Financial Advisory Board. And the reason I said that is because it just seems like we want everyone to understand it's a sure attempt and we're not taking over.
Thank you very much. And Senator Johnson, and we're going to have to go because we have a big meeting other places.
Just following up on Senator Ferrioli's comments, if there is a diversion of funds, would you be at all proscriptive in saying how those funds needed to be applied? You specifically mentioned economic development dollars. In a crisis, I would hate to see counties taking that diverted money and getting into speculative endeavors in the hope of job stimulus. I'm just asking whether or not in your idea you would prescribe it for public safety or for core functions of government rather than we're going to build a storage facility and see if we can fill it up with customers.
Chair, Senator, to your question, I was only referring to places where the language exists. The idea that we would watch those counties use the money only for education, for instance, that's one of the silos that have been created with surplus funds for a very specific purpose. In other areas, it was for economic development, but only, we had a lot more income to deal with at that point in time than we do currently. But I would guess that you'd want to make sure that the counties, if they did utilize those declining road funds for other purposes, it better be core function. And I don't know how you put the parameters around that, but I hope that communities would hold their own elected officials accountable for not doing something speculative with the money.
So with that, I thank all of our people who testified today, our committee members. We'll get back to you, and this County Payments Task Force hearing is closed.